Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Inside Jeopardy!
Hello and welcome back to Inside Jeopardy, your exclusive and official podcast destination for all things happening in the world of Jeopardy! I'm Sarah Foss, and here with me in the studio today, it's Buzzy Cohen.
Hi, Sarah. I'm so happy to be back. It has been a minute. You guys have been very busy.
We've been busy. And when we were on our way over here, I was like, yeah, I said something to one of my coworkers. We're going to go pod. And then podcast producer Carlos said, it's going to be a potty. And I thought, yes, especially with Buzzy Cohen here
today.
It's a potty.
We always have fun.
We do. Yeah. But you have been busy too, my friend.
I have been busy.
You have a new book out.
I do. Baby Got Facts.
Baby Got Facts.
Totally 90s trivia.
Love
we like big brains and we cannot lie.
I love it.
Yeah.
I
so
love it so much.
Came out last week and it's very exciting. It's my first trivia book, my first print book. The Get Ready book was an audiobook. And so it's been really fun promoting it. The response has been awesome. And it's just, you know, if you're listening out there and you like trivia or you have a millennial or someone who lived through the 90s in your household, it's a fun gift.
What made you want to write it?
I'm a child of the 90s, and I was approached and someone asked if I was interested in doing a 90s trivia book, if I'm being totally honest. But when I got into it, it was a really interesting decade. It was like started with the fall of the Soviet Union and kind of ended with the rise of the internet in a way. And so it was this very, you know, if we think about where we are now, it was really a big inflection point in modern history and some great culture. It was kind of the last time everybody was watching and listening to a lot of the same stuff. We had the rise of, you know, more cable shows and all of that, but really, you know, everybody was watching 90210, whether you were, you know, a goth kid or a cheerleader. Everybody was watching Home Improvement and Friends and Seinfeld. You know, it was like must-see TV, right? Everybody was watching all of these programs. Family Matters was like, you know, this phenomenon. So it's kind of cool that there is this
TGIF.
There's a whole TGIF chapter. There's a whole
SNCC.
Remember SNCC?
Yeah.
There's a whole Disney Afternoon chapter. And I also got to do some fun kind of like variety quizzes where, you know, locate on the map where Kevin McAllister put the various booby traps from Home Alone, stuff like that, where it's, you know, not just a straight question answer. So it's a lot of fun. I did a really tough one, actually, which was 90s power ballads. And I gave you the first line and you have to figure out what the song is. But just reading the lyrics without the music is really tricky, even for music fans.
It's almost like when Johnny Gilbert does some of them.
It's
for us.
Exactly. It was inspired by none other than Johnny Gilbert.
Now, are there any photos of you in the 90s in the book? Because that would be fun.
There are no photos. However, in the answer sheet, occasionally I'll give a little tip as to how this piece of information connects to my life. For example, there's a question about bagel bites, and I actually wrote my college admissions essay about bagel bites.
Of course.
So there's some stuff like that that's peppered in the answer section.
Well, and we've seen you, you know, making the rounds. We saw you on Watch What Happens Live, of course, one of Michael Davies' other shows.
I don't know if my publicist dropped his name to get me in there, but if they did, good for them, because it was a lot of fun. I mean, I've never been on a program like that.
Yeah.
So it was super, super fun. And Andy was really great and the guests were great as well. And I did not have to mix any drinks in spite of being the guest bartender. Sorry to burst anyone's bubble. But it was fun in the after show too, talking about, you know, what it's like to be on Jeopardy versus what it's like to be in the blue chairs on Watch What Happens Live.
Well, it was a big week last week for you, of course, doing a media tour, having the book come out. But here in Jeopardy, it's a big week for us this week. It is Masters Week, which is hard to believe because we really just shot, you know, six of these episodes. Our post team has been working around the clock, working weekends to get everything turned around. So the first episode, which will feature The first two quarterfinal games airs this Wednesday, May 1st, on ABC at 8 p.m. Game one, Matea, Matt, and Victoria. And then game two, James, Yogesh, and Amy. So, of course, with Masters, you're going to see all six players, you know, in a single episode, three in the first game, three in the second. We have match points just like last year. So you're going to have 3 points going to the winner, 1 point for second. So that second place finish, unlike in the regular show, is so important. And then 0 points for third place. We're going to play these six quarterfinal episodes. And then from there, two of our Masters will be eliminated. We'll then head into the semifinals, which will be two additional episodes with four games. And then from there, only the top three will make it to our final two-game total point affair episode in the finals. You know, not too much on the line except, oh, $500,000, the title of Jeopardy Masters champion, and the Trebek Trophy, which is just beautiful and something that we feature a lot more in the show this season. So it's pretty exciting. If you haven't gotten a look at the Masters, the social and digital team wanted to do some glambot videos of them. And when they came to me with this idea, I was like, well, you're welcome to ask them, and they are welcome to say no. But they all did participate in the Glambot, so check those out if you haven't seen it. And then a little later on the pod, we're actually going to share our conversation from the first ever Inside Jeopardy! Live on Tour podcast, where Matt and Matea were guests. So we're going to hear how they were feeling just days before competing in Masters Season 2. And, you know, we got to highlight last week's games as well. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick look back. It's a special look back, Buzzy, because you are here. Let's take a look back at this week in Jeopardy history.
Over to our champion, Buzzy Cohen. He wrote down the correct response. He's going to make it 5 days in a row with how much? Ooh, another 10,001, 22,801, and now a five-day total of $101,402. And Buzzy, you get to relax for 3 weeks because next week we're back in school with the Teachers Tournament, and that will be followed by our Power Players Week in Washington, D.C. Have a good weekend, everyone. See you Monday.
That's right. It was this week, way back in 2016, when Buzzy, you secured your fifth game win, your spot in the Tournament of Champions. Now, this was a close game for you, but you did have a small lead heading into Final Jeopardy, and you were, of course, correct for the win. Just a reminder, that Final Jeopardy clue, I'm sure you will never forget it. In 1929, London's Great Ormond Street Children's Hospital was given all rights to this character, created 27 years earlier. Correct response?
Who is Peter Pan?
Now, right after that correct response, you did take a little break because we, of course, had the Teachers Tournament that fell in the middle. But then you returned on May 23rd to secure, you know, four additional wins. And, of course, then you came back in 2017 to win the Tournament of Champions. All part of our history, Buzzy.
Yeah. I mean, what an amazing moment in my life this taping was. And when we're taping this podcast, it was actually the anniversary of my first ever win. I'd kind of forgotten that this end of April time is when this all happened, but it was such a thrill. That first week was a lot of close games, and I eked it out and took that time of the break to get my head right and came back with a vengeance. But it was just so fun. You know, I still am in touch with a lot of these people that I played in that first week. Everyone on the Jeopardy team was so kind. It was such a whirlwind, as so many people, I'm sure, would corroborate their first time on the show. But really, so many amazing memories. I couldn't pick one, you know. I think probably the most fun was the moments when I got to interact with Alex, because even though it really took to another level the second week of shows, we were already having a lot of fun in that first week.
Well, it's crazy to think 8 years ago today, when we're taping this, was the first time that Mitch Cohen said to you, "Hey, champ."
Yes. And I, at the time, I was like, oh, it's so nice. He's calling me champ and everyone's calling me champ and I feel so good and they're all celebrating me. And it was not until years later that I realized, well, it's easier to call me champ than say the wrong name. So Mitch is a genius.
Yeah, he's a genius and a legend. And he has been able to say champ to a lot of people. But certainly we're happy for that day when he got to say that to you.
Yeah, it never feels less good.
No. Yeah. Jeopardy champion.
Ooh. Well, thank you for making that this week's memory. That was so sweet of you.
You know, we could thank Alexa, actually.
Thanks, Alexa.
She did pull that one, and it's a special one.
Aw.
All right. Well, we're going to get into our top highlights of the week.
Let's
Marco
do it.
Returned last Monday going for a third win, but Nam Nguyen had other plans. Marco on fire early on, but then Nam came roaring back in double jeopardy, ending the round with a near runaway and helping secure his win in final. Take a look at these stats. 71% buzzer accuracy, really getting in on 71% of the clues that he's going for. So impressive. Then 27 correct responses, only one incorrect, and 16 correct in Double Jeopardy alone. Ends Double Jeopardy with $28,200. Now, Nam had a watch party, and you may have seen this online. And if you look closely, well, in a baseball cap, but there is none other than Jeopardy master Mateo Roach. I talked to Mateo about this, and basically, they were in undergrad at the University of Toronto at about the same time. They didn't actually know each other when they were in school, but they had a lot of common friends. And so when Nam was preparing for Jeopardy, one of the mutual friends, you know, put Mateo in touch with him. So when we were talking about Mateo coming to our event in New York, you know, they were telling me that they had a friend who was coming on Jeopardy. So great that Mateo was there to support Nam at the watch party. After this game, Ken caught up with our players and really wanted to ask Nam how he felt about this dominant win. Take a listen.
Nam, we often see that a buzzer percentage in the 60s is just a dominating kind of unheard of thing. Today, you were shooting 71%.
Wow.
You got in 71% of the time you were attempting it, which means you were dialed in a way that we rarely see, and you seem surprised by that.
I mean, I feel like I'm a young person. I had video game experience. That's all I gotta say. I had a lot of caffeine in the green room, like 4 cups of coffee. That's it.
That's your secret of success. Yeah. 4 cups of coffee and what video game? Do you want to share?
Honestly, a lot of the studying process I did was like rewatching like Crash Course videos and then at the same time playing Tetris.
Ah, so it's like distraction.
Yeah.
Like, can I remember this stuff while I'm trying to multitask?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really good. I don't think I've ever heard of players trying that.
Yeah, it wasn't like intentional. I just, Tetris is the procrastination thing, and then Crash Course was the learning thing.
I see. Like, you're a modern two-screener. You can't just look at Jeopardy material.
Like, it's a little, like, we are,
second
young
screen.
People are truly broken.
Oh, yeah, your brains are all in terrible shape. And yet, you know, 27,000 on Jeopardy without even getting final right. That's a great day.
And it's American dollars.
I know. We pay you in Canadian. Sorry.
Oh my God, this sucks. Sorry. This is going to buy me like a coffee.
13,000 toonies is waiting in a briefcase backstage for you.
Well, on Tuesday, despite that dominant performance by Nam on Monday, it was Mark Lashley who came from behind to take the win and come up with a correct response in final. Something Nam could not do. Now, I have to bring up one category and clue in this game. Culture, popularly, was the category. Gene Autry's been gone for a while, but he was on the Billboard Hot 100 in late December 2023 with "Here Comes This Fellow." Nam buzzes in and responds, "Who is the hot stepper?" Of course, Leanne did rebound with what was the correct response we were going for. Santa Claus. Ken joked, "Yeah, kind of the Christmas hot stepper, I call him." And then if you've seen Nam on Reddit, has changed his Reddit username. It is now Nam the Hot Stepper.
Yes. Well, you gotta roll with those incorrect responses.
Yeah, like make it work for you. I love it, Nam. Well, on Wednesday, Amy Hummel took the stage, defeating Mark after his one win in what was a very close game. Amy managed to close out Double Jeopardy with a small lead and then sealed up the win with a correct response in final. Gotta shout out Paul Drake, because he may not have had a win, but he was winning with the host photo. You know, he went on Reddit to share that there was some sort of camera malfunction during his photo with Ken. And so, you know, he joked that it was like because he was so handsome, too handsome. And so then he asked Ken, maybe we should do a blue steel for the next one. Ken was great and obliged. And if you see this picture and you wanted to know what Ken Jennings and, of course, Paul Drake look like with their blue steel, check it out. It's something.
It certainly is.
Paul also shared some of his behind-the-scenes experiences on Reddit, saying, "I want to say, if life is about soaking up the love and light around you and becoming the best version of yourself, then Jeopardy has sent my life on an upward trajectory. I hope to never come down from. Mm. How cool is that?
So sweet. Yeah. And so true for so many people. But every time somebody says it in their own words, it's really inspiring.
It really is. And I think someone who is, you know, wanting to not come down is Amy Hummel, because she's a Jeopardy champion. Let's take a listen to how she was feeling after clinching that first Jeopardy win.
Amy, nicely done. Yeah. I have a question for you. Will the Hindenburg to you now be a metaphor for great success
great
and happiness?
Great success, absolutely.
Like many people. You'll be like, the humanity!
It took me that entire time to come up with it, too.
So did you know from the beginning what it was? Like, it's the thing that blew up?
No, no, I was trying to come up, it was the airlock thing.
Right.
I have no idea who the Montgolfiers were.
Well, you started writing down, what, Zeppelin?
Zeppelin.
Is that right?
And what's going to blow up with the smoking.
The behind-the-scenes secret is I can see you folks, right? And I saw Zeppelin, and I was like, well, that's it. She just lost. And then all of a sudden, what's this? And it was a race against time, because we would have needed you to get that G in.
The G? Oh, really? I'm glad I didn't know that.
But that was a great game from all three of you. That was a lot of fun to watch. We had some, great gets there. I thought that Virginia Woolf clue was pretty hard, Amy. We didn't really give any of her better-known works.
That was a hard guess.
I believe it was the only miss in the first round, the Daily Double. And just for the record, talking with the writers this morning, I said, this is very hard, because unless you've read Schwarzenegger's memoir, you have to remember which of his movies was in 1990. Mm-hmm. And they were like, well, come on. Is it going to be Kindergarten Cop?
Right.
And that's a fair point. I said, well, it could be True Lies or Last Action Hero. And let me ask you this. We also had some discussion about the Nathaniel Hawthorne clue. We added Young Goodman Brown, really at my insistence. I kind of put my reputation on the line, and that turned out to be wrong. It actually did not help. What if we had said Mosses from an Old Manse? Does that help anyone? What if we'd said Author Who's a Friend of Melville? No?
Keep going.
What if we said Rappaccini's Daughter? The Birthmark?
You keep pitching them.
The Scarlet Letter?
He's from Salem.
Yeah.
Well, that was a great game, Amy. You're a Jeopardy champion. How does it feel?
Can't even describe it. Doesn't feel real.
It's like another Hindenburg, big fireball
that's
of joy.
My brain right now. It's just an explosion.
You're going to have to come back and play again. Are you ready?
Better be.
Better be. Well, you have a little time to rest. Best of luck in your next game. That was fabulous to watch. Thanks for playing.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Factor's ready-to-eat meals make eating better every day easy. When my schedule gets busy, it's nice to have pre-prepared, chef-created, and dietitian-approved meals delivered right to my door. With over 35 different options a week to choose from and over 55 nutrition-packed add-ons, make your weekly meal planning even more delicious and easy with Factor. Plus, Factor meals are 100% ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Get started today and have a feel-good week of meals ready to go. Head to factormeals.com/Jeopardy50 and use code Jeopardy50 to get 50% off. That's code Jeopardy50 at factormeals.com/Jeopardy50 to get 50% off.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy. Woo! And sadness. Oh. And anger. Definitely some disgust.
Rose!
And I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, Ken, a little bit of rest, about 15 minutes, I'd say.
Yeah. Just take it all in, change, and get back out to it again, which Amy did on Thursday, notching a second win after a dominant performance in Double Jeopardy, locking up a runaway win. Now, in the post-game chat, Ken did point out that Amy is somewhat of a conservative player.
Mm-hmm.
She only had 34 buzzer attempts, but she successfully got in on 26 of those. So that's a 76% buzzer accuracy average there. You know, she talked about being a more conservative mm-hmm. player, and she said, you know, her thumb in the first game was faster than her brain.
Yeah, that happens.
It happens.
That happens. And also, there's so much adrenaline in that first game that sometimes your hand gets away from you.
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
One thing that folks have called out was that in this game, you know, four clues were left on the board. After all those competitions and tournaments mm-hmm. that you loved so much, you know, we didn't have any material left on the board. And I know that was something that, if people have compliments about that time, that would be one of them. But the bottom line is, with three relatively new players, you know, two there for the first time, one of, you know, few game champion or one game champion, it is a slower game sometimes,
yeah.
you know, calling out the categories, responding correctly or incorrectly. And then, you know, when there's triple stumpers, it just does take more time. We always try to play as much as we can, but once we have called less than a minute, we have to stick to that. And even though things may unfold in the game at that point that we wish, oh, I wish we could just go a little longer, we can't. We can't do that. Once yeah. we call less than a minute, we have to stick to it. So we hear you. We always want to play all the clues, but this is the reality of, you know, they
TV.
Make us keep this show to a certain amount of time.
The nerve.
I think everyone else would just like Jeopardy to go on forever. But, you know, that 8 p.m. time slot or whatever's coming after us, you know, in some markets, yeah. it'll be Masters this week. We got to get out on time. Well, Amy closed out the week with a hard-fought battle with Dan Byrne. She had the lead heading into final and secured the win by just $101 with a correct response. And she ends the week as a three-game champion.
Congratulations, Amy.
Yeah, in the post-game chat, you know, she compared herself to a duck, cool on top, frantically paddling under the surface. And for any of us who work with Michael Davies,
yep.
this is often what he calls a good producer. And certainly he's like, you know, you're calm on top, but underneath you're just paddling like hell.
Yeah.
Doesn't well, say it quite like that. But
I think a lot of our calmest contestants would describe themselves that way because there's a lot going on. It's a stressful situation.
Yeah. For them and for us who are producing the show as well. So let's all just try to keep being ducks, everybody.
Yes.
It is time for this week's host chat. An audience member asked Ken, does your family still watch Jeopardy?
We have always been a big Jeopardy family, don't get me wrong. Grew up as a huge fan of the show, and I guess I still feel like a fan first and foremost. But I have to say, not a lot of surprises for me on Jeopardy anymore. My wife will often put it on and I'll be like, really, are we watching Jeopardy? I thought I was off today. I'll tell you who wins. I'll tell you who wins. No, I do. I have a family of Jeopardy fans, which means it is off and on in my house. Whether I want to, do you like the sound of your own voice? I don't want to turn on the TV and hear my own voice. It's like hearing your voice on your voicemail.
Buzzy, how about you? Does your family still watch Jeopardy?
Every chance we get, we do watch Jeopardy. It's kind of right in the middle of our bedtime routine. Mm-hmm. I've got young kids,
yep.
so 7 o'clock where it comes on in LA is a little tough for me, but I find often when we're traveling and
yeah.
you know, the bedtime
out
schedule
routine,
gets a little looser.
Yeah.
Especially it's also
on the East Coast because
exactly,
it's earlier.
Yeah. So we'll often find Jeopardy on our hotel television or wherever we are. So it's definitely a kind of a special treat, I would say.
At this point, have the girls seen all of your episodes? Like whether
No. I don't think, I mean, the way that they talk about me in a sort of loving but not loving way, I don't think they're interested in seeing my episodes.
No, my children couldn't care less about
yeah.
seeing any of my clues
yeah.
from times past, you know.
And I will say that my 10-year-old is much more interested in Jeopardy than my 5-year-old.
Yes.
My 5-year-old finds it incredibly boring.
Yeah.
But my 5-year-old also went to a Dodgers game this weekend and said, this is so boring. They just throw the ball and hit the ball and catch the ball and run around and then you sing and dance and clap. This is so boring. I'm like, you just described the most fun
yeah.
a 5-year-old could have. So I don't trust her opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, same with me. My 10-year-old, you know, likes it a little more. My 6-year-old, she really just wants to hear Johnny Gilbert.
Yeah.
Like,
who does?
Once that's done, she's kind of done with it. Well, we haven't asked this question to our listeners in a while, but we want to hear from you once again. So if you have anything you want to know, we'll answer most of it. You know, go ahead and send those questions to insidejeopardypodcast@gmail.com. We're going to get those answered for you right away in the pod. Now, given that it is Masters Week, we thought it would be fun to take a listen to Michael and my conversation with Mattea Roach and Matt Amodio from our Inside Jeopardy live podcast. So take a listen.
Oh, I love it. A long entrance.
Welcome.
That was quite entrance music.
I know. We took that from our Jeopardy Honors blue carpet. I don't know if you all have remembered it, but it really, it brings me back to the honors.
I was thinking that was Johnny Gilbert on the drums. I love that idea.
He can only do the axe. Come on. I mean, he's already done one instrument. Well, my first question, we just brought it up. Mattea, I have to know, what have you done to prepare? Because Buzzy talked about the flashcards and what would happen if you got a hold of some. What's it been like for you preparing to know that you're coming back to Masters?
I think when I was talking to Buzzy after last year's Masters, I had big ambitions of how I was going to be feeling in like August, October. Was I going to feel ready to get into the flashcards? I never made flashcards for like school, so this was really going to be a big change for me. I have not made any, I regret to report. I've been watching a lot of movies and reading a lot of books and playing a lot of Learned League, and I'm hoping that's going to stand me in good stead.
I think they agree.
That sounds pretty similar to the rest of your life, though, Mattea. That's not exactly preparation. That's what you've been doing since the age of three, I feel.
It did fine for me on my regular season, so let's see if it still works.
No, very, very true. So the field has been made public. Matt, you know everybody who's coming on the show. You've competed against many of them, other than James, who you did take down last year. Who are you afraid of? Who are you preparing for this season?
I think that I'm still preparing for James. There are five very talented people on that stage who I think are trying to prove themselves to be James's equal. And that was true last year, and I think it's still true now.
Matt, we know that you've recently moved to New York. Mm-hmm. How's your... Yes, he's one of you now. How's your preparation been? Because you've been busy too.
Yeah, so it's hard to balance Jeopardy with everything else going on in life, and especially the pop culture keeps changing. I memorized the artists and the TikTokers from a year ago, and now they're all different. I wish they just stopped doing that. But I really don't want to get a question wrong when the stakes are high that I feel like I would have gotten 2 years ago, and that's the most frustrating thing. You know stuff, and then you forget it. You have to keep maintaining that knowledge.
That's such a good point. The history of Carthage, Greece, and Rome never changes. But pop culture and sports, I know your favorite category, Mattea, these things change and change and change again.
Yeah, it's tough.
And also our taste, what we decide to write about changes. We are constantly modernizing the canon, changing the approach of what we're doing as well.
Just still keep TikTokers in the background, please. That's a bridge too far.
Well, one thing we always hear from Jeopardy champions is you just want another chance to play this game. Of course, the two of you knew since last year that you would have that chance. What's the best part about knowing you're returning to the Alex Trebek stage, Mattea?
It is unbelievably fun to play the game. And I think also knowing after last year that not only was I going to get to play, but play against, you know, competitors who first of all are some of the best, but second of all, that I consider to be good friends. I think last year's Masters, we really developed a bond as a group. And now, you know, you all in the room know who the full field is. It's going to be four of the six from last year. I'm excited to meet Victoria and Yogesh. They're such unbelievably strong competitors. I've heard good things about them from people that I know who've met them, who've played trivia against them. So I think just that group dynamic of being amongst like-minded people and getting to play multiple games where even if you lose, you still have a chance to redeem yourself in that next match. That's a huge difference in regular season Jeopardy.
The fraternity and sorority between our players has been something that I have really enjoyed watching. And I sort of feel like you all kicked it off on Masters last year in a very big way. I mean, not everyone can have the bromance of Sam and Andrew. That is like...
Matt thinks he's part of that.
Yeah, so, I know.
But Sam's his best friend?
Yeah, Sam and I have talked about this.
Okay.
It's okay. Okay. It's okay.
But you're not one of the losingest ever contestants on Jeopardy, so you can't really compete with him.
That's true. It's unrelatable for me, frankly.
We'll see how Masters goes. Like, I think both of us could be coming for the record if we don't do well in Masters.
Yeah, this is a recent thing we've looked into, the biggest winning loser on Jeopardy, Andrew Hee currently in the lead. Sam Buttrey really wants that honor, and apparently these two want to get in on it too.
You know, it's an honor to be invited onto the stage enough times to have that record. So I hope they're proud of it.
And what are you looking forward to?
So I am a big believer in self-improvement. So I always have these grandiose ideas of how great I'm going to be 1 year from now. So when the master's concluded, I said, I'm going to know so much more about this. I'm going to know so much more about that. And I haven't achieved everything that I would have hoped for, but I feel like I'm a stronger competitor now. So I appreciate that opportunity.
How are you finding living in New York? Like, as we see it spread out behind us and all around us and everywhere.
I don't like heights, so don't tell me to look in that direction.
Yes, Matt told me he didn't realize we were going to be 1,100 feet in the sky when he said yes to this invitation.
Yeah, I thought it was
elevated event.
I thought it was LIOI, but it's actually L101, and that's terrifying.
Details.
Yeah, no, I don't even want to think about it. It's great. I, as a PhD student and everything, I've moved around and seen much of the country, and I liked it all. There are a lot of great places out there. Still fond of my home in Ohio. Let's go Midwest. Woo!
And Canada.
Yeah. True. Yeah, there's two. I think we were talking about this, you know, talking about working with broadcasters all around the country. And Michael, you said, and Canada. We also work with broadcasters in Canada. Canada, great country. I've lived all around the place. Been in Toronto for now almost 9 years, though. I'm like very planted there. Don't really want to leave.
Well, Canada is our fastest growing market for Jeopardy. You know, Canadians, you, Ray Lalonde,
Javaria.
A number of other great, Javaria, and other great Canadian players coming onto the show. And of course, Alex Trebek. The show is clearly Canadian in its origin as well.
I didn't stop James from stealing many, many, many of the clues about Canada from me in Masters last year. So hopefully I'll have the chance for payback there.
Well, we are so excited to see both of you back on the Alex Trebek stage. Thank you for joining us. Let's hear it for Matt and Mattea.
Thank you, guys.
And that brings us to the end of today's episode. We'll be back next week for more regular Jeopardy highlights. Plus, we'll be discussing all things Jeopardy Masters.
I cannot wait. We'll see you then.